Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, Minister of 12th Hour Apostolic Seventh Turn Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour, in the Elgin, Texas. Today is September 2, 2023, or it is the 18th day of Elul 2027. We will start our second service on this Sabbath day with a song entitled "It's Time to Be Holy." It's time to be holy. Speak of the fire. Abide in Him always and be on His word. Make friends of your children. Forgetting His blessing, His blessing to see. Faith, time to be holy, the world rushes on, spend much time in secret. Live just for alone. When the king to Yahshua, life's and thou shalt be. Thy prince in thy conduct is like the chassis. Take time to be holy. And be thy God, and run thou before Him, whatever betides. In joy or in sorrow, still follow thy King, and look into Joshua, still trust in His word. Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul, be sure in this morning, be with us control. Thus led by His Spirit, fathoms of love, those who shall be fitted for service of prayer. Okay, review of Revelation 11, 1 through 13, taken from 11 symbolic code number 5. By the Vicky Holler, about 1955, I believe, or 54, he wrote this before he died. I don't know why I didn't get published in your main book by Don A. did, but for some reason he didn't do it. It did get published around the rod. Of Ichihara for the purpose of this article is to impress upon the minds of the 12 tribes scattered abroad that Yahweh has not left His faithful people at sea without chart or compass. He has made His course so that His elect may be able to follow Him wheresoever He goeth. Now, this says, since it is only through the more sure word of the prophecy that Yahweh's plan is conveyed to us, there is then no other place for us to turn for the enlightenment, and as the Revelation 11 was the last prophecy revealed unto us, and since the first 13 verses refer to our time, it is more essential, therefore, that we fail not to give it our careful attention. In our review of it, we shall briefly study it verse by verse and conclude with the typology. For the prophecy is just sitting in Revelation 11, however, it is necessary first to refer to the last several verses in chapter 10. Revelation 10, 8-10. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, Go and take the little book, which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, for it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. These verses foretell William Miller's message explaining the 2300-day prophecy of Daniel 9:24-27 and Daniel 8:14, by which they understood that the Yasir was to come in the October of 1844. This message to the people sweet as honey, but when Yahshua did not come to earth as they had expected, that this form was bitter indeed. Verse 11, And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings. Here is the commission to the Seventh-day Adventist, Ellen G. White, people, after the disappointment in 1844 of the William Millerite people, that they were to go to many peoples and nations and tongues and kings to prophesy again. So, first it was the First-day Adventist Millerite movement, 1833-1844, that prophesied first of the 2300-day prophecy. And now, it's up to the Seventh-day Adventists to go back to their same nation and to re-emphasize and give them the understanding on the fulfillment of Daniel 8:14, that's the cleansing of the sanctuary, that William Miller talked to the world that that was the coming of Yahshua, and he's going to cleanse the sanctuary by burning the earth up with fire and taking away the saints back to heaven. That's what he taught for 11 years to the world. And when it turned out, didn't turn out that way, well then the whole world that didn't join him during that 11 years, they were just listening and watching to see if it was going to really happen. And when it didn't happen, they didn't join William Miller, they didn't join the Seventh-day Adventist either, and continue on. But it's a little Advent band, Ellen G. White and her group, that's continued on with the Millerite message. They continued it as a Seventh-day Adventist, prophesying again of Revelation 10 before many nations, the same message, only with a different understanding and an explanation of the coming of the cleansing of the sanctuary. That's when Sister Friday introduced the sanctuary as having a place in services that they found in the Bible. But the sanctuary was not the earth. It was a sign in Leviticus of the law of Moses, and it was found that it had a place of services, and that it was a building instead of a whole world. Revelation 11:1-2, And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, Rise and measure the temple of Yahweh, and the altar, and them that worship therein. That the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall be set underfoot 42 months. Following the organization of the Seventh-day Adventist movement, the people are to be measure their own number. And as it is that one number group measures 144,000, this verse brings to that to see 144,000. The message by which 144,000 are to be measured or numbered. The court was not to be written, for it is given unto the Gentiles. Then continued on without a break, it said that the Gentiles would tread the holy city for 42 months. All know that the holy city has been trodden under the feet of the Gentiles since 70 A.D. Therefore, this 42 months coming as it does after the falling of the latter rain, clearly and undeniably shows that this prophecy is speaking of the last 42 months that the Gentiles will be allowed to tread the holy city. So it says that verse 3 to 5, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy a 2 3 score days, clothed in the sackcloth. These are the two olive trees, and the two candlesticks stand before the Yahweh of the earth. They're standing before the Yahshua of the earth, not the Father, but before the Son. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies, and if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. For the two witnesses are here defined to be the two olive trees, the Bible, and the two candlesticks, the true congregation, and of Israel. You should have put Israel there. This is wrong. For the two witnesses are here defined to be as the two olive trees that represents the Old and the New Testament. One olive tree for the Old Testament, one olive tree for the New Testament. And the two candlesticks represents the Old and the New Testament. The Old Testament has a candlestick, and the New Testament has a candlestick. The true congregation of Israel, and power is given them to prophesy 1260 days, clothed in the sackcloth, mourning. If any man will hurt the two witnesses, power will proceed out of their mouth and devour their enemies. Verse 6. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over water to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. For the two witnesses have power to shut up heaven, the source of rain, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. For the angel of Revelation 10:1, with the book in his hand, came in the time of the latter rain. We know this because the angel was clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was over his head. Okay. Now this angel is Yahshua himself coming in his seventh trump. And that is also in Ezekiel 1:26, the same description. The Son of Man coming in his seventh trump with a rainbow over the top of it. Okay. It says, the angel Revelation 1 with the book in his right hand, and his hand came in the time of the latter rain. Well, the latter rain, believe it or not, only it fell, the term of Texas, starting at the Passover 2002. And the latter rain was nothing but the present truth message of explaining that Yahweh was changing the guard from the old guard to the new guard with a new mission. And that Elijah David was this new guard with a new mission. And that was the latter rain. In other words, interpreting Matthew 20 verses 1 through 6, there was five groups of laborers, and there was five unique movements for Israel from the time that Moses started the first movement coming out of Egypt, 1500 B.C., until the last movement, which is by the Elijah David, has the last movement of 2002, and that was Matthew 20, verse 6, the fifth group of laborers with the fifth movement. That's who we were. Seventh-day Adventists was the fourth group of laborers with the fourth movement, Matthew 20, verse 5. They were called at the ninth hour. The fifth group of laborers was called at the 11th hour, Matthew 20, verse 6. So the angel of Revelation 10:1, with the book in his hand, came in the time of the latter rain. Okay. So that angel is Yahshua. That latter rain fell, starting at the Passover of 2002, because we have a prophecy that says that that the former and the latter rain will fall together in the first month, which is contrary to nature. But spiritually it's not. And so we understand that. We know this because the angel was clothed with a cloud and the rainbow was over his head. Okay. So that would indicate that you get the rainbow after the rain. Okay, that's good to know. The messages that came in this time of the rain are described in Revelation 10, 8 to 11 and 11, 1, and they are the messages that have already come to ripen the wheat for the harvest. No other message is to come to accomplish this work for no more or prophesied. Instead, we are told that these two witnesses have power to shut heaven and that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. Okay. They have power to cause to cease the falling of the rain, that is, the latter rain. Then during the days of their prophecy, 260 days or 14 months, there is not to be any new message, any new commission, and new movement. Okay. Okay. Verse 7 and 8. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Yahshua was crucified. Now we may ask, who is the beast of the bottomless pit? If the star that came from heaven and opened the pit is Yahshua, okay, let's do that again. Let's put the positive spin on it instead of the negative spin. For the star that came from the heaven and opened the pit is Yahshua. All we had to do was change one word, if, to the preposition for. And if the locust that, and the locust that came out of the pit are the apostolics, then there is no way of escaping the conclusion that the beast which came out of the bottomless pit is symbolically in the time of the Christendom, which is the antitype for apostolic period in the New Testament. Thus it is that the Master was crucified there. And the antitype for apostolic Christendom time is in the last day that we're in now, in the 12th prophetic hour. Now the city of scripture called Egypt, he denotes that it is holy Yahweh's people in slavery. The same, then for the name of Sodom denotes that Yahweh's true people will have to be rescued from it, as was Lot. 2 China Greetings, number 15, 11 and 12. Continue with the prophecy of the two witnesses, verses 9 and 12. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the grave. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets torment them that dwell on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of the life of the Yahweh entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from the heaven saying unto them, Come hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. These verses make plain that at the end of the 760 days or 42 months, when the two witnesses shall have finished their testimony, verse 7, they are to be killed by Christendom, that's the Protestant world, and the Adventists is one part of the Protestant world. Matter of fact, they're the most number one in charge of the Protestant world, the Adventists at this time. That their enemies will be. So I'm gonna reread that. For they are to be killed by the Seventh Day Adventist Church. No, they are to be killed by the General Conference of the Seventh Day Adventist Church, that are the offshoots of the L&G White Seventh Day Adventist Association of 1844. Can't get it much clearer than that. Okay, but that their enemies will be surprised at their unholy feast and the celebration of the short-lived victory, which is the last for 3.5 days. Verse 13, In the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were applauded and gave glory unto the Yahweh of the heaven. This says a tenth part of the city must represent the Yahweh's part, the tithe, so to speak. The earthquake, therefore, represents a shaking and a congregation of the Yahweh. For the remnant who gives glory to Yahweh can only be the faithful who survive the shaking. Thus is the congregation purified. The earthquake is symbolical of the slaughter of Ezekiel 9 and coincides with Isaiah 66:16. Two timely greetings, number 15 and 12. Since there can be no truth where there is no type, we shall now give attention unto the typology of Revelation 11. For your aid, a chart is next given, and it is suggested that you carefully follow the chart as you read the explanation given after it. First consideration is given to Elijah, by whose great burden was to cast out idolatry. Okay, so whenever that title fell on me, matter of fact, a lot fell on me, like it fell on John the Baptist. He was, I should have said, he's the Elijah that was for the camp. And they said that they knew it not, the Pharisees knew it not. So this Elijah is just the sacred name of Yahweh the Father, Eliyahu, two parts of his sacred name put together in one, given to his servant, that is to bear the message announcing the Son of Man. And he comes. That's what Elijah's supposed to do, is to announce the Son of Man when he comes, before he appears. You got to have somebody in the spirit and power of the Elijah. First consideration is given to Elijah, whose great burden was to cast out idolatry and to set up true worship among Yahweh's people. Among the Yahweh's people, Israel, for the 3 years and 6 months, or 1260 days, or 42 months. There was no rain, James 5:17, Luke 4:25. And during this time, he hid from the face of Ahab at the end of that period. The great showdown on Mount Carmel took place, in which every one of the prophets of Baal were destroyed. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "For the Yahweh, he is the Yahweh. The Yahweh, he is the Yahweh." 1 Kings 18:39. Next, we shall consider Yahshua's ministry. His forerunner was John the Baptist. And both Yahshua and John preached the kingdom of the Yahweh was at hand, the Father. For Yahshua's ministry until the time of the crucifixion covered 3 years and 6 months, or 1260 days, or 42 months. Then he was crucified, resurrected, and ascended into heaven. As a result of his ministry, there was 121st fruit, Acts 1:15, and after a multitude of such as should be saved, Acts 2:41, 46:47. Finally, we shall consider Revelation 11, showing how the types meet antitype in this prophecy, and the fulfillment of the testimony of the ministry, page 475 and 6, and Malachi 4:5, the latter day Elijah came to the Yahweh's people with the same burden and worked the first Elijah came to do, cast down false worship instead of true worship among Yahweh's people. His message is basically, namely, the same as John the Baptist: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In the 1950 General Conference Special, 1954 edition, page 34 and 36, we are plainly told that the Elijah's message came in the publications of the Shepherd Rod. Moreover, since the promised Elijah is to be the last prophet to the Seventh-day Adventist Church today, page 23 and 24, and since he has come and gone, we can know that we are now in the 42 months, the 1260 days of Revelation 11, when the two witnesses are to prophesy. Well, this is all wrong. This is all wrong, and it's already proven out to be all wrong. And now I can understand one reason why Don A. Dare didn't publish it in the official Shepherd Rod when he published it, even though B.T. Hallett wrote it. I can see now why he didn't publish this in the, because this time it's already come and gone and nothing to it. Because the rainbow over that throne shows that that's the latter rain that comes in the last parabolic month. That's in the 12th hour, not the 10th or the 11th, as the ship of God prophesied. Just as Yahshua preached the same message John the Baptist preached, that is, repent, for the kingdom of Yahweh is at hand. So the message now to be preached during the 42-month period is the same as the last message before it. That is, true worship and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Brother Johnson is the first one of the Seventh-day Adventists to introduce true worship and to publish a creation calendar showing how to perform your vows of the true worship in the sanctuary. The keeping of all the feast days. He even published a tract on the sacred hour to be done at the 3rd hour and the 9th hour of the day, and showing true worship. He's the first messenger and the only and the last messenger to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So Brother Johnson then was the last prophet to the Seventh-day Adventist Church of the fourth movement of Matthew 20, verse 5, brother said that the Seventh Day Adventist Church was called at the ninth hour. So Brother Johnson was the last prophet to the Seventh Day Adventist Church and the Shepherd's Rod Church. He was the last prophet to them. Okay, so that's where your last prophet come in at. And he was by no means an antiquity Elijah. Just as Yahshua preached the same message, John the Baptist preached that he would repent for the kingdom of Yahweh at hand. So the message now to be preached during the 42-month period is the same as the last message before it. That is true worship, and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Indeed, during the 3.5 years of Yahshua's ministry, he commissioned his disciples there. Now, I will say this. Yahshua had to come here and be in the person to establish the first 3.5 years of his ministry. He had to be in the person and do it himself. So likewise, in order to establish the antitypical 3.5 years, Yahshua's got to come back again in the person. And then that when he shows up and he addresses his kingdom church here on earth, the Mount Zion at the 12th hour is a kingdom of the everlasting kingdom of heaven, which is set up in the throne of David. When Yahshua comes and takes his seat upon the throne of David to reign over all the earth, and that's in Luke 1:32. It says, "The Father in heaven has given unto his Son these last days the throne of his earthly father David to sit upon the throne of David and to reign over his enemies and over his people until in the last parabolic hour." When Yahshua comes and appears in the second time to sit upon the throne of David, then that's when you will have the 3.5 months and the antitype of his ministry begin again. That's still right here in the future. We're really near it, but it's coming here. You're going to have the destruction of the wicked leaders in this country right now before that happens. But the next event is the destruction of Washington, D.C. Getting rid of Biden and those globalists that run our country and run the world. Moreover, just as Elijah and John the Baptist let's finish off the last paragraph. "But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye to another. Verily I send you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come." Matthew 10:7-23. So that right there shows you that he has to come before all the cities that will be gone over. He has to come and lead the way to go over these cities. Matthew 10:7-20. Yahshua himself said that these words, even though he was already there with the disciples. The same commission is ours during the 3.5 years that the two witnesses are prophesying in sackcloth just before the Yahshua suddenly comes to his temple to purify the sons of Levi, Malachi 3:1. The sons of Levi is 144,000, the priesthood. That's who he purifies them out of the Adventist church. Moreover, just as Elijah, John the Baptist, and Yahshua and the types were sent to Israel, so Antipater, Elijah, and the two witnesses ministered directly in behalf of the lost sheep of the house of the Israel in Laodicea, and during the time the two witnesses prophesied, there is no more latter rain, no new message, no new movement, just as there was no rain for 3.5 years in the days of Elijah. Just as Yahshua was crucified, so the two witnesses will be killed. Well, that's the two witnesses is the Old and New Testament prophecy. And as Yahshua was resurrected, for the two witnesses will be raised. Moreover, as Yahshua ascended into heaven, so also the two witnesses will be exalted to heaven. The same power that raised Yahshua from the dead will raise his congregation and glorify it with them above all principalities, above all powers, above every name that is named, not in this world, but also in the world to come. Resolve ages, page 787. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with the Yahweh, and the Word was Yahweh, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Okay, this is that John 1:1 again. Let's do it again, and let's put a little bit of correction here. In the beginning was the Word. Okay. Who is the Word? It says in John 1:14 that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So who is that Word? That's Yahshua the Son. Put that in your mind. In the beginning was the Word Yahshua with the Father Yahweh. And the Word was with the Yahweh. And the Word was also the Yahweh, the Father. And the Word was made flesh. That's John 1:14. And dwelt among it. Okay, and so that's Yahshua. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:1, 14. For the prophecy of Revelation 11 shows that Yahshua in our day, in the form of his truth, his word, is to be crucified afresh at the hands of his professed people, and that the truth will be raised in the glorious exaltation and victory and to the shame of his enemies. These are facts as certain as any other prophecy, and no one can successfully deny them or attempt to ignore them, but all would do well to profit by this knowledge and be a true disciple of the Yahshua. For the saints that were raised with the Yahshua at his resurrection typify those who shall rise in the resurrection of Daniel 12:2, for we are told that there's to be a mixed resurrection there in Daniel 12:2 of the good people and bad people. Go read the rest of it. If Moses represents the general resurrection, who then would represent the mixed are the special resurrection of Daniel 12:2. We have the one of Matthew 27:52 and 53. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the grave after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. For the saints who had part in this resurrection were gathered from all ages, some who perhaps had lived at the very time that Yahshua was preaching and were acquainted with him and his work, were witnesses to his resurrection. Read early writings, page 184, Desire of Ages, page 786. There is still another reason why Matthew 27:52 is the type of this mixed resurrection. Those who were resurrected with the Yahshua witness of the deity of the Yahshua to the very ones who crucified him. Speaking of this mixed resurrection, Daniel said, and many of them that shall sleep in the dust of earth shall awake some to everlasting life and some to shame with everlasting contempt. Then there will be some righteous included who lived and witnessed the crucifixion. Also those who crucified him and pierced him. For Revelation 1:7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. Therefore the resurrection which witness of the power of the Yahweh to those murderers of his son typified the just who are raised in the mixed special resurrection. a separate rod running around far side of this and page 47 of this. Still further regarding the resurrection of Daniel Phelps, Daniel himself recorded this information when he had completed writing the great prophecy of the book of the Daniel. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said unto the man clothed in the linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in the linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by the him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time and times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished the stead of the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Daniel 12, 5 to 7. Daniel here was told that all the things he had written in the book of Daniel were to be finished at the end of the time and a half, and when he shall have accomplished the stead of the power of the holy people, and since not all the wonders of the book of the Daniel have been finished, instances being the fall of the king of the north, the deliverance by Michael, the special resurrection, it clearly indicated that the time has not yet passed. The power of the holy people is the same as the power that is possessed by the two witnesses of Revelation 11, for the power of the Yahweh's people is in the truth in the Word. There it says. Coming back to the typology for Revelation 11, it says that just as there was a number group constituting the first fruits of the Yahweh's labors, 120 of Acts 1:15, so the first fruits at this time number is 144,000, Revelation 14:1. The Pentecost of that time and recorded in Acts 2:1-7 is a type of the Pentecost recorded in Joel 2:28-29, which we look forward to in the commencement of the loud cry of the Revelation 18 and the multitude of such as should be saved that were brought in after the first Pentecost, Acts 2:41-46-47. Typify the great multitude that shall be saved after the untypical Pentecost, Revelation 7:9, Isaiah 66:19-20. How perfect is the work of the Yahweh? How great is his love to mankind? How solemn the time in which we live, Revelation 11, is indeed a solemn yet encouraging prophecy, and we dare not treat it lightly or ignore it. It is a part of the more sure word of the prophecy and was given for the enlightenment and guidance of the Yahweh's people, not to fill space in the scriptures with the knowledge. What manner of men ought we to be? Just as there was a showdown in the time of both the types, Elijah and Yahshua's ministry, Revelation 11 indicates that there will certainly be a showdown today at the end of the 3.5 years allotted to the two witnesses to prophesy. That would be in the short parabolic hour, and it will be after Yahshua appears the second time at the second advent. When he stands with the 144,000 on Mount Zion, Revelation 14:1, that's when this will take place, after that time. Furthermore, it appeared Elijah at the time of the showdown on Mount Carmel that there were no true worshipers of the Yahweh, although in reality there were 7,000 who had not bowed the knee to Baal. Likewise, at the time of Yeshua's great trial, it outwardly appeared that his work had brought forth no results, yet a great harvest of souls, such as should be saved, were afterwards disclosed to view. Therefore, let us store up courage from these types and examples, and the prophecy of the hour of the congregation's great trial just ahead, as well as the prophecies of the great harvest of the soul have come in afterwards, so that we may then with courage look with the prophetic eye into the future as portrayed by the more sure word of the prophecy, and know that the Yeshua's word will not return unto him void, and that we may rest in the comforting assurance that the knowledge of the truth shall surely cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Habakkuk 2:14, and that will also be, I believe, in Isaiah 11:16. Yes, the vast multitude will surely be made to know of the saving truth after the earth becomes lightened with its glory, and the time that wondrously triumphant experience of the two witnesses. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Yeshua so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-6. Malachi 24:45-51.
Matthew.
What? Okay, I'm correction. Matthew 24:45-51. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master hath made ruler over his household to give him meat in due season? Blessed is that servant when his master, when he cometh shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But in this, that evil servant shall say in his heart, my master delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken. The master of that servant shall come at a day which he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. We are in a time of the decision. Let each of us choose to be faithful, wise, and awake servants, that we may be prepared for the day of our visitation. For the further study of the Revelation 11, the following text material is recommended. In the First Symbolic Code number 1, November 1955, and page 3-14, and 2 TG 15, track 5, final warning, firm as a rock, is the name of the poem ending this service. Unshaken as the sacred hills and fixed as the mountain stand, firm as a rock, the soul shall rest and trust the Almighty hand. Do good, O Yahweh, do good to those who cleave to thee in heart, who on thy truth alone repose, nor from the law depart. Okay. University of this hour, contact us at the 11th hour call. That number 11, click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Ivory Palaces.
what you have done, so wondrous fine, and leather texture film, and fragrant sweet in this heart of mine. It's your hand loving trill. Out of the ivory palisade into a world of woe, on his great eternal love, make the Savior go. His life had also his sorrow sore, for all those had a part. And when I think of the cross he bore, my eyes with teardrops start. Out of the ivory palisade into a world of woe, only his great eternal love made the Savior go. His garments to Winchester dip with healing in his tie. He's tied my feet in some sinner's slip. He took me from his claw. Out of the ivory palisade into a world of woe, only his great eternal love the hymnless Savior go. In garments glorious he will come open wide the door, and I shall enter my heavenly home to dwell forevermore. Out of the ivory palisade into a world of woe, only his great eternal love made my Savior.